FTN Fast Break Podcast, Thursday, November 14th, 2024. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhisenberg DFS, joined by my Thursday co-host, Adam Pfeiffer, decked out in the Cavs gear. Adam, let's just get into it here on the Fast Break, because we've got a lot to talk about. It's been a busy few days in the NBA. Your Cavs, 13-0. It has come true. We have gone another week with undefeated Cavs. Do you even remember what it feels like to lose a game at this point?
No, I mean, the Bills have won 5 straight. The Cavs have won 13 straight. Collectively, I've just, 18 straight victories from my two favorite sports teams. I was talking to you before we hopped on, though. It was pretty scary last night because I'm in the PA area and all of my closest friends are Sixers fans. And if we would have got our first loss, let alone to that team if they were healthy, it would have sucked. But without Drummond, obviously you start with Drummond. I don't know why I started with Drummond. But without Drummond, Embiid, Maxey, and Paul George.
Yeah.
And they were down 9 at one point, down 6 at halftime. I was like, this can't happen. And then Donovan Mitchell did Donovan Mitchell things. Did you see what he said after the game?
I did not. What did he say?
So he got interviewed after the game, like on the court, like right after. And he apologized to the Cavs fans, saying he was actually kind of triple-double hunting because he hasn't gotten one in his career. And he said he should have closed the game out earlier, but he was trying to get a triple-double. So,
God. I'm kind of surprised he doesn't have one in his career yet.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, the only question is if you're, like, with the Cavs is, like, it's not if they're good. I think at this point we kind of have to consider them title contenders. But the elephant in the room is the East is just so bad. Obviously, they have that awesome win against Golden State, but they've beaten some good teams. They've beaten up on some bad teams, which is what you're supposed to do. But again, like, Boston's the best team in the league. At least we came into the season thinking that, and starting 13-0 is just rare. It's just they're gonna lose. I want them to be undefeated for that Boston game.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
I mean, that's, it's rare, might be.
Oh, yeah, the Pacers tomorrow, I think.
It's actually, I believe, the Bulls again tomorrow.
The Bulls again, and then the Pacers. I think they play soon.
No, and then the Hornets. So,
I thought they played the Pacers soon.
These are two, that may be after the Boston game, but so, you mentioned how rare this is. Might be an understatement. They're one win away, so if you beat Chicago on Friday, which is a cup game, I want to get into the NBA Cup here.
And it's in Cleveland, right?
That is a home game. Then they're home for the Hornets. I believe that is Sunday. And then at Boston for another cup game on Tuesday. So right now at 13-0, Adam, they are one win away from tying the 57-58 Celtics and the 02-03 Mavs for the fourth best start all time at 14-0. They are just 2 wins away from tying the 1948-49 Washington Capitals and the 93-94 Houston Rockets for second best all time at 15-0. Of course, then they have a gulf between that and the Warriors from a few years back, which I believe was 24 straight wins to begin that season, that record-setting season, right? But these next two, they are certainly going to be favored over the Bulls and the Hornets at home. And so for it to potentially come down to at Boston, right, in a cup game on Tuesday for the outright second place or second best start all time, this is shaping up to be an exciting few days for the Cavs, even more exciting than it's already been in Cleveland.
In all honesty, though, chasing whatever streak is cool, but, say something happens and they happen to just lose these next two games, right? I'm cool with that if they beat Boston, because that's the game I want. I think there's still definitely some questions about Cleveland because they've always, not always, but since they've had this core four, they've been a really, really good regular season team. And the questions are the fit, the spacing and stuff in the playoffs. But I don't know. I think Kenny Atkinson's probably coach of the year through 13 games.
I think that's pretty fair to say.
Stop watching Garland too. I've just been so impressed with him. I think he's top 10 in clutch points per game. It's on a team with Donovan Mitchell, who I think we can safely say is a top 12 player at worst in the NBA and a top 6 scorer. Garland's been the closer this season.
Yeah.
A lot of their wins, even the Golden State game where it really wasn't in too much of concern, they cut it to 18 at some point. And then Garland in the fourth quarter closed that game out. Mitchell, it was him yesterday with the disgusting step back on McCain. But yeah, most of these games, it's been Garland hitting huge bucket after huge bucket. So, yeah, Ty Jerome, I don't think he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year, but he has been awesome. Like, they're getting contributions from everybody. And, oh, by the way, Max Strus hasn't played a single second.
Yeah.
It's getting old on these podcasts with us because they need to lose so we cannot talk about them anymore.
I mean, yeah, but we have to talk about them as they're, again, they are one game away from setting, you know, they're really etching their name, this edition of the Cleveland Cavaliers, into the NBA record books with this streak to start the year. So can't ignore it, man. And like, even from a third party perspective, we're like, I don't really care about the Cavaliers all that much. It's fun to watch, man. It's fun to be a part of and to, you know, just discuss it here every couple days on the fast break as it continues. So we'll revisit the Cavs, of course, on Monday with Mike. And then hopefully we're sitting here with second best start of all time next Thursday when Adam's back on the fast break. But you mentioned the shot over McCain last night. Jared McCain himself, as we can transition to some of the massive statistical performances we saw last night on Wednesday across the league. Jared McCain, his first NBA start in a regular season game, 34 points, 2 rebounds, 10 assists, and 4 steals, 12 of 26 from the field, 6 of 13 from 3. Our buddy Tyreek, who's, you know, longtime FTN fantasy subscriber, he actually called the 30 real point game early yesterday morning. So good call there by Tyreek. He certainly knows his Sixers well, but I don't know, man. It turns out that painting your fingernails doesn't mean you can't be a high caliber NBA basketball player, Adam. You watched a lot of McCain last night. I've caught snippets of him throughout the beginning of the regular season. Obviously watched him in summer league and preseason extensively. It seems like the Sixers and Daryl Morey have a hit here in Jared McCain. Now, of course, when Maxi comes back, he's going to go back off the ball, but this guy is clearly an NBA caliber player. Like, you don't fall into a performance like he had last night and the couple bench performances that he had leading into last night's close loss against the Cavs. You don't fall into those by accident. Jared McCain is on the rise.
Yeah, so a lot of Sixers fans that I know really wanted them to draft him and kind of compared him to Maxi a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I expected him to have a good game yesterday just because he, especially if the game was close, you would think he would be the reason why. But for whatever reason, there was a stretch where he like wasn't getting a lot of minutes on the we talked about how bad, for the most part, guys like Caleb Martin, Eric Gordon's been relegated to the bench. So like, but to me, like he's scoring, he's playing confident. It's cliche, but like he's just not afraid. Like there's nothing that really bothers him out there. But I go back to, it was against New York it was Embiid's first game back. And first of all, he kept him in that game because Embiid, Paul George and McCain were doing everything. Embiid couldn't hit a shot from the floor, obviously was limited. But there was a play where McCain's out there with Embiid. I don't think Paul George was on the floor. Then it was like three veterans. It was like whoever, you know, wings were out there. Embiid had a switch where it was like Bridges, Deuce McBride, somebody that had no business guarding him, the post was on him. Nobody saw it. Like nobody, he was calling for the ball. Nobody saw it. And then the ball gets moved around to McCain, and McCain like immediately throws it into the low post and he draws a foul. Like he might actually have the best court awareness on this team outside of the top three. And that's maybe a concern for the rest of the team, but also shows how good he is. Yeah, I just want to see his team healthy. I want to see Maxi, Paul George and Embiid healthy, keep bringing McCain off the bench just because, like, I don't know how else they score off the bench. And then you can close with him. And I feel better about this team as long as they can get healthy because the East is so bad. Like, once they get healthy, they can make a run. They could be the third best team in the East in a 20-game stretch easily, depending on some of these back-to-backs. And McCain's going to be – I tweeted it during the – I think it was that same game where it's like he's playing so well and he can clearly hoop, and this is really important for him in the stretch. He's just going to gain more confidence because Maxi's not coming back for a little bit. So like all he's going to do is get more confidence, get more experience and play better. So I think despite the record and everything, honestly, this is probably the best Philadelphia fans should feel since the season started.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I mean,
yeah, 2-9, right? But also you mentioned, right, the Eastern Conference has been so bad, it's like, overall.
What are three winning records? Are there three winning records or four now? It was three.
And one is Orlando, who have won four straight without Paolo, kind of readjusting things there and really highlighting how deep that roster is. But yeah, it's a mess right now. And you look, only four teams in the East have a positive point differential. In the, again, it's a young season, but the West, on the other hand, 12 teams with a positive point differential.
You know how mad teams like Minnesota must be?
Yeah, like, right.
We could be like the third best team comfortably in the East, like very comfortably.
Well, and you bring up Minnesota, that's a professional transition, almost like you've done a podcast before here, Adam, because the Wolves lost three straight now, two of them to Portland, and not just to Portland, but shorthanded Portland.
Yeah.
No DeAndre Ayton in either of those games. Anthony Simons goes out early in the first matchup, which I believe was on Monday night. Portland still gets the win. Then those two guys miss again on Wednesday night. And the Time Lord, actually, so this was Tuesday, Wednesday, because that first one was a cup game. This is a back-to-back. Time Lord sits out for rest. So you get all the Donovan Clingan your heart could desire. And after two early fouls, he goes out after like a 2 or 3 minute rotation, comes back in. Huge night for Clingan. 8 blocks, including 4 of those in the fourth quarter for back-to-back wins, back-to-back upset wins over Minnesota. He's got the fans in Portland chanting Kling Kong at him. I think the Blazers fans have to be pretty excited about what they've seen over the last couple of nights, because you're getting big-time contributions, not just from Clingan, but increased opportunities and production from Scoot Henderson, and Shaedon Sharpe is back, 2 big games in a row. So you're getting valuable production out of their first-round picks from the last 3 years. And again, kind of like what you said about the Philly fans, I think Portland fans probably feeling pretty good after those two wins, even though, right, they probably want to go 0-82, get some Cooper Flagg in their lives, add him to that young core. But those are good wins. Like, we can talk about Minnesota another day. I thought Donovan Clingan last night looked as advertised on the defensive end. You know, that's kind of what we expected to translate from the college level to the pro level early on.
I thought Scoot looked pretty good on defense too. Yeah, I mean, Portland's like, it's all about evaluating this season anyway, but yeah, Minnesota's a little concerning, right? Like, Ant's taking this huge step forward as a three-point shooter and a volume three-point shooter, but DiVincenzo hasn't panned out. It's early, but he has not been the player they were expecting. And Julius Randle's kind of Julius Randle. He's going to have some games where it's like, oh, wow, he can have 28, 8, and 9. And then there's games where he takes some of the worst shots you'll ever see and does nothing. Like, I think, yeah, he was terrible. Like, I think I still like their depth, and I still think it's going to take a little bit of time to get acclimated with all these new pieces. But, yeah, I mean, turns out losing Karl Anthony Towns isn't, you know, I know there's obviously concerns about the fit with him and Gobert, but
right.
I don't know. I still like their depth, obviously, but you know, maybe slow-mo was more of a loss than we thought. But again, that's why I kind of led with, like, they probably wish they were in the Eastern Conference right now, because again, some of the teams we maybe had them ahead of maybe jumped them in the West. Like, I think Phoenix we'd probably rank ahead of them at this point.
Yeah. I think they, I mean, look, we're only 15% of the way through the regular season here. But if the playoffs started today, Minnesota would not even make the play-in.
Right.
Nor would the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, they're just, you know, Wolves are tied with the Clippers and Spurs for the 9-10 spot. Their Mavs a half game back. So all things are not equal here. But Minnesota, they didn't just lose to this, you know, both double shorthanded losses to the Blazers. They also lost to the Heat, who did not have Jimmy Butler that night, and three straight losses. I believe I saw the Wolves didn't lose three straight until the conference semifinals last year, when they went up 2-0 on Denver. Denver storms back with three straight wins. And now we're sitting here again, 15% of the way into the season, and they've got a three-game losing streak to those three shorthanded teams that they very much should have at least got one win from. So slight concern there on the Wolves. But like, we talked about two rookies from last night. We also had the household names at the top of the league, those all-star caliber guys. Just, it was a offensive explosion last night. To close this out, 39-year-old LeBron James becomes the oldest player in league history with three straight triple-doubles, besting the previous record held by a 34-year-old LeBron James. So, again, week over week, the guy continues to add to his legacy, to continue to wow us with the high level of play that he's able to put out there night in and night out. And even a shorthanded Grizzlies team, that's a big win for the Lakers in a Western Conference that, again, is stacked right now.
Do you think they will have to make a trade? They obviously bench Russell. I feel like they have to make a trade at some point, right?
I mean, if they're serious about contending, and even then, I'm not sure it gets this team over the hump. But and of course, you know, as we continue through the seasons, they start to add more first round picks down the road that they can legally trade and put into a potential deal. I think we see something, but I'm not
I just
sure.
Don't even know who that is right now. It's so
early. And I know you and I were discussing before we hit record today, other pundits who were talking about Trae Young trades. Out of that conversation that we were discussing, I do think the Lakers make the most sense out of teams who need a guard like that and would be willing to take the swing. I just don't know if they have enough assets to really throw back Atlanta's way. And I'm not sure Atlanta wants to get out of the Trae Young business right now when they don't control their draft capital for the next three seasons. But it wasn't just LeBron. Giannis, 59 points, 14 boards, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and 2 steals.
That's what it takes from walking minutes. A win in overtime.
43-minute overtime win against Detroit. Now, Damian Lillard was out. Bobby Portis was also out. Chris Middleton still not back. But the Bucks had 24 first-quarter points. Giannis had 22 of them. So you knew it was going to be a special night right off the rip. And he was quite literally doing everything. Gets, I think, to his 53rd point by walking into a 3 in overtime. The Bucks crowd. It's kind of funny to see the Bucks crowd so hyped over a game against the Pistons, right? Who they've just owned over the last what seems like a decade. But it's where we are there in Milwaukee, and it was a big, big win for the shorthanded Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis is still at worst the third best player on the planet. So to see him have a game like this, he's going to have a couple, maybe not 59, but a couple just absurd games every single season. Still obviously concerns about Milwaukee. Detroit also, like, I think the first time I was on the pod this season when the season started, I had them as a stock up just the way they're playing, and they continue to play hard. Cade's been, I don't know, I want to say most improved, but just really health, because when he was healthy last year, he was awesome. But he's been great. Jaden Ivey's been really good. Tobias Harris has been on the floor. That's about as far as I'll go for him. Did you see the beef stew foul on Giannis too, by the way?
I didn't actually watch the highlight, but I saw people making a big deal about it. It sounded like he kind of just grabbed him and brought him down.
Yeah, he like grabbed him by the jersey and just pulled him down, which was pretty dangerous, and he got ejected. So, but yeah, it's going to take a lot from Milwaukee to get back to being a team we think can legitimately make a run, but it would help if they were healthy. Like, I still think, like, if they're fully healthy in a 7-game series, like, they can probably compete with some of these teams, but I just don't trust they'll be healthy.
Yeah, and that's where I was in the preseason, right? Like, once we get Middleton back in there, I could see it. But again, like, it's been so long now since we have seen it that every passing week just...
And also, you look at the teams in the East that they could theoretically be playing, right? We talked about it's not just this year, it's last year. Like, since last year, they've been, and it's not a surprise when you pretty much go from Jrue Holiday to Dame, but they've been the worst defense at defending backcourts. And it's like, okay, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, you could play them. Garland and Mitchell, good luck. Maxey and now McCain, have fun. Like, it's going to be tough.
Yep, there's no question. When I left what I think is the best for last year, I had him Victor Wembanyama, first 50-point game of his young career, 50 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal, 18 of 29 from the floor, 8 of 16 from 3. Adam, this was the fastest 50-point game in NBA history. Wemby played 26 minutes to get his 50 points. He then came back in as the Wizards closed the gap in the fourth quarter, played an additional 6 minutes, and did not score again. But 50 points here from Wemby. He has turned things on in a major way over the last three games, you know, much was made. We were sitting here 2 weeks ago, and I'm talking about must-win games against the Jazz and how bad that the Spurs have looked offensively, and they have really adjusted things over the last 2 weeks. Getting Devin Vassell back over the weekend has opened things up on the offensive end as well.
Castle's been pretty solid too, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, don't get me started on Steph Castle. We don't need to go down that road right now, but all of a sudden, after this three-game stretch, Adam, where Wemby has gone 6 of 9, 6 of 12, and 8 of 16 from 3, not only has he picked his three-point average up from that 21.5% it was 2 weeks ago to now 34.3%, which is 2% better than he was last year. So, again, small sample size theater here, not even a month into the season. And Wemby now besting his points per game average, his blocks per game, his steals per game, a little bit lower on the rebounds and assists. Assists doesn't surprise me, getting Chris Paul into the mix there, but also has lowered his turnovers and fouls per game and his efficiency from the field, from three, and from the free throw line have all increased. So all of a sudden, it looks like a pretty good start for Victor Wembanyama and the 6-6 Spurs. We were many months into the season last year, if I recall correctly, before they had six wins under their belt. So Wizards or not, it was a good performance there from Victor.
Yeah, just wait until he starts to just have more of a aggressive style on offense in terms of like post-ups and attacking mismatches, because he's pulling from deep from 3-2. It's not even like some of his threes are like Steph Dame type range, but we talk about like some of the concerns we would have with the Spurs with teams when if Chris Paul and Wemby are running a pick and roll, like teams aren't even really worried about having to they're fine switching because Wemby's not really attacking the post as much. But once he starts doing that, and then all of a sudden you have to decide, okay, are you going to switch? Like, it's just, and again, it's only his second season. He's obviously still young. Like, yeah, I mean, just good luck. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Just good luck.
Yeah, and I could talk about this forever, but let's go ahead and move on here on the fast break, because I want to talk about the NBA Cup. We had the first group stage games on Tuesday, so we can mix some of those results into our group by group discussions here. Of course, if this is your first time getting into the NBA Cup, it was called the in-season tournament last year. This is the second year of the competition. It doesn't add any regular season games to the schedule. These are already built in, Tuesdays and Fridays, for about a month. And then if you make the Final Four knockout round games, those are additional games that won't count towards your regular season record. But every player will receive, I believe, $500,000 bonus for winning the NBA Cup here. So we know that it means a lot, especially to those guys at the end of the bench who might be making around $500,000 for the full season. Three groups of five teams each in each conference. Group A out in the East here. Adam, this is the one that if you're looking over at DK Sportsbook, they seem to think that this group is pretty much wrapped up here. The Knicks -280 favorites to win this one here. And I think it makes sense to me. They took out Philadelphia on Tuesday in the first group stage match of Group A in the East. So -280 for the Knicks, then the Magic at +370. They won't have Paolo, though, and the other teams in this group, Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Philly. So Knicks look like, odds-wise, going to run away with this group. Do you think anything crazy happens here?
I could see Orlando giving them some trouble just because we know Orlando is still a really tough defense, and New York's defense has been dreadful this season, like really, really bad. So like you obviously feel better about them if they have Paolo, but maybe that's a spot where like they could get away with not having Paolo just because their defense has been that bad. But I will say Kat has looked awesome the last, you know, 5-6 games.
Yep.
My choice to win six man, Deuce McBride, looks pretty good. Brunson hasn't even like really popped off yet either.
Yeah.
But I still think they should
have to do as much this year.
Right. And I still think they should be, you know, the favorites that they are. But if anybody, like, I could see Orlando. They're still playing well enough without Paolo. They're getting contributions from, you know, Suggs. Anthony Black looks pretty good. And Franz has been insane over the last week. So I wouldn't be shocked if Orlando knocked them off, but they should still be the favorite just because of the firepower they still have.
Yeah, it does seem like the Knicks magic matchup when we get this in Group A in the East. That could be the decider. Those are the only two teams that have a win right now. And you always want to look out for the point differential at the end of these group stage games, because with only four group stage games, that tiebreaker can come into play pretty frequently here. And so the Magic actually beat the Hornets by 25 on Tuesday. So they are sitting on top of the group based off point differential tiebreaker. The Knicks only won by 12. So you'll see some of these games where, like, the Magic maybe letting their starters play out.
Yeah, 15-point lead with 4 minutes left. These guys are still in the game.
Exactly, yeah, and then ballooning it to 25 because they know that that tiebreaker will come in, will be very important by the end of this group stage. Group B out in the East, right now, led by Milwaukee. They took out Toronto by a 14-point margin. I think this is interesting, too, to talking about point differential. The Pistons and the Heat went to overtime. Those overtime points do not count for point differential. You only count regulation. So they actually, even though the Pistons are 1-0, they have a neutral point differential. In terms of the odds right now, Bucks plus 140 to win Group B in the East. Pacers plus 180. Pacers will have their first tournament game on Friday. So tomorrow night, the Pacers will be in action. And that will actually be against the Bucks. So we will have big-time movement on the odds for East Group B after tomorrow night's game.
I like the Pacers.
I don't think
Milwaukee should be favored over them.
I think I agree.
Haliburton's playing a little bit better lately too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nembhard's out, right? The front court is a little beat up with Wiseman and Isaiah Jackson, so there's less depth there. But yeah man, I think I would be on the Pacers at plus 180 right now for this group. Because the Raptors and Pistons, like, I don't really see it happening. But the Pistons are plus 450 with the Heat plus 650 after the Pistons take that first game in overtime. So if you're looking for a long shot, maybe you're thinking the Heat can turn it around and make some noise in this group.
Bam's got to play better.
Yeah, well, I think Bucks Pacers tomorrow night, that is just key game. I will have my eyes on that one as well. East Group C right now, this one, up in the air. Cleveland plus 150 are the favorites, but this is a group with Boston at plus 230 and Atlanta plus 250. And I think this was the most surprising group stage game from Tuesday's Cup games. The Hawks, without Trae Young, go into Boston against a fully healthy Celtics team and pull off the win behind a triple-double from Jalen Johnson, a career-high 28 points from Dyson Daniels, and what felt like an additional, I don't know, 38 steals. This guy, I don't know how you can exclude him right now from the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. Dyson Daniels has been fantastic, and I don't think the Pelicans brass, their front office, is necessarily kicking themselves over the DeJounte Murray trade, but the Hawks have definitely gotten the better of it so far because of DeJounte Murray's injury. Dyson Daniels playing outrageously well compared to our expectations preseason. And they get that win, Atlanta plus 250. I'm kind of surprised their odds came down as much as they did, because I still don't have a lot of confidence in them in this group. But how are you looking at this? Of course, your favorite team involved, along with, right, Chicago and Washington. Cleveland and Chicago play tomorrow, and then we get the Cleveland-Boston matchup, which is what we're all going to have our eyes on. But how do you feel about this group? Is this a Cavs 150 bet for you? Plus 150, rather?
It's tough because I just feel like it's inevitable the Cavs are going to, like, they're just playing all the, like, you know what I mean? I feel like at some point, obviously it's not going to fall out from under them to where they suddenly just lose, like, six straight, but, like, they're going to lose soon. It feels like it could be the Boston game. I do want to talk about Atlanta, though, because I like this team. I was about to say I wasn't surprised. I was very surprised that they walked into Boston without Trae Young, 16-point dogs, and won that game. But without Trae Young, you just have way more length and defense on the floor, and that hurt Boston. I mean, Dyson Daniels was literally in Jason Tatum's face the entire game, giving him zero space. Daniels, 7.6 deflections per game, leads the NBA. He's contesting about six shots per game, 3.8 contested three-point shots per game. He has been everywhere. I think he had a stretch where he had like six-plus steals in three straight games. He's been unbelievable. Jalen Johnson, triple-double, he's been awesome. Do you know? So obviously, it's burying the lead, but Jokic clearly leads the NBA in touches per game. It's 116. Jalen Johnson's second right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say I could see Jalen Johnson being
Trae Young's third for its worth, but he's been awesome. Reece Shea's been really good. Like, they still have the two capable centers that they can roll at you at any time. I like this team. Like, I think they could be, and we kind of talked about this last week, like, they could be, barring health, a top six seed in the East pretty easily with some of these teams struggling. I like what we're seeing from the players that they added. I think Jalen Johnson is, like, a future all-star. We obviously know what Trae Young will do with this offense. Like, I like Atlanta. I don't like him enough to, like them to win this division or anything like that, but, like, it's just a tough draw for them. But if they were in that Milwaukee conference or whatever for the play-in tournament, like,
yeah,
be a lot more interested. But this team, again, might as well go for it. We talked about it last week. They don't control their first round picks, so see what you got. I think they have enough to win, you know, mid to low 40s games and be a top 5-6 seed in the East right now with the way things are shaping out.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't continue that way. I know I've said this on the Daily Dime streams, but I'm very invested in the Hawks losing as many possible games this year. And so
tell Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels to chill out then.
Yeah, I know. I was screaming it at the top of my lungs on Tuesday.
You thought that was a lock? It's like, all right, well, yes. We can just add this loss.
Adam, didn't happen. I'm in Spurs group chats with buddies. And Monday, when Trey's ruled out, we're celebrating the loss already. Just horrible, horrible. I would, for what it's worth, Boston plus 230 right now is what I would be taking, because if they
can, and even I would agree, by the way.
Yeah, I just think that number now is pretty darn good value. Are we that surprised if Boston wins their remaining three games, Atlanta loses one, and Boston ends up taking the group on point differential? I'm certainly not.
No.
So moving over to the West Group A, each of the West groups have only had one game played so far. So in West Group A, this is where we saw the Blazers upset the Timberwolves by 14. But I thought it was interesting, Adam, you look at the odds on DK Sportsbook, Sacramento plus 210, Houston plus 230, Minnesota plus 290. So even after the upset, you don't get the Blazers up there in the top three of the group stage odds like you see Atlanta in that last group in Group C of the East. So Kings, Rockets, Wolves, Blazers, and Clippers make up West Group A. I think for me, the spicy pick right here, I think, is Houston plus 230. Relatively healthy, obviously youthful, athletic, tenacious on defense. Wouldn't be shocked to see Minnesota turn this around and kind of, like, I think the Celtics could take this group down. But this is certainly not an easy group, and the Wolves have made it very tough on themselves, dropping that game to the very clear bottom team of this group, right? Like, the Blazers winning anything here in this group stage is a surprise. How do you see West Group A? The Rockets would be my pick right now.
This is a tough one because the best player is obviously Ant, and that counts, especially because this is more of a playoff atmosphere. Not quite there yet, but closer to it. I think, like, if they just get some sort of consistent play from Randall or DiVincenzo, it's interesting, but then you have, like, DeMar DeRozan's been great for Sacramento.
Is the best team the Kings?
Right, and it's given, like, DeRozan's giving them two of the 12 best kind of clutch mid-range scorers in the league with him and Fox.
Yeah.
We know what Sabonis does. He's the engine of that entire offense. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's something about Houston, too, with they have depth. They have a combination of youth and veterans. They have defense. They have a lot of things you want. This is the toughest one for me that we've discussed. Even tougher than the Cavs and Celtics one, just because I think there's three clear teams that could do it. I think I'm with you with Houston, though, just because we've already seen Minnesota drop those games to Portland.
Yeah. Well, I'm also factoring in that last night, DeMar DeRozan left the Kings game
early
with a back issue. So if that persists, again, these cup games come pretty fast and furious because we have every Tuesday, Friday for the next four weeks, our group stage games. So yeah, Rockets at plus 230 would be my pick, but I do think, assuming health right now, that the Kings are the best team of these five. Let's talk West Group B: Suns, Jazz, Thunder, Lakers, and my Spurs. Only one game so far, like I mentioned, in this group. Suns with the 8-point shorthanded win. No Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant going to miss at least two more of these group stage games, if not the entire group stage, with that soft tissue injury. But man, like, even without him, Suns, Thunder, Lakers, Spurs, like, Spurs clearly the fourth team to me here in terms of overall quality. But we know from late last season and from some fits and starts here to begin this year that as long as they've got Victor Wembanyama out there, they can try to compete with any of these teams. So I'm not surprised to see them beat the Lakers at home on Friday. That's certainly a game I'm looking forward to tomorrow, both as a Spurs fan and just a basketball fan in general. LeBron and Anthony Davis against Victor Wembanyama and Chris Paul. Maybe you can sprinkle Devin Vassell's name in there now at this point. And the Thunder, now with no Chet Holmgren, you look, Thunder plus 135. I have to imagine they were bigger favorites in this group before that Holmgren injury. Lakers plus 250, Suns plus 300. It's still very much OKC plus 135 for me here. But this could maybe be the most chaotic group because of the level of talent we have with every team really outside of the Jazz. I think the Jazz probably 0-4 in this group when all is said and done.
I agree with the Thunder. Like, obviously losing Chet is brutal, but we've seen them for stretches go with that small ball lineup and be really, really, really good. So you look at it like, okay, they play Phoenix, right? And they run that small ball lineup where they have, you know, SGA, Dort, Caruso, Jalen Williams, and Cason Wallace. Okay, you could theoretically match that with Phoenix and saying we'll just play Durant at the five, but he's not going to be there. It's a huge loss, but I just still think we talk about this team being as deep as anybody, and the way that Caruso and Dort and Cason Wallace can just really, really, really impact the game defensively with all their off-ball movement and swiping, all that stuff. And you still have an MVP candidate, MVP caliber player in SGA. Yeah, I think they're the best bet, but listen, there's one player that the Thunder don't have, and it's not who you're thinking when you're talking about Wemby and LeBron and AD. It's Tyus Jones. They don't have a Tyus Jones on the team. Tyus Jones is so good. Their turnover rate has gone from, like, I think I saw, like, they were 6th worst last year, and now they're 6th best this year. It's like,
yeah,
it's just what Tyus Jones does, man.
We close it out here. West Group C, Warriors, Mavs, Nuggets, Pelicans, Grizzlies. So
this one's fun.
If we had everybody healthy,
I know,
this is the group of death, I think, so to speak. Like, those are all good teams on paper. I do think some of these teams catching a break with how shorthanded the Pels are, that the Grizzlies are still trying to get Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, guys like that back into the mix. We did, to kick off this group, or tip off this group, rather, on Tuesday, we had the return of Klay Thompson to the Bay Area. Awesome ovation, welcome, you know, tribute video before the game, very emotional. Klay actually comes out, plays well, 20-plus points in his return, but Steph shuts the door on the Mavericks. Actually, you know, gives them the little night-night at the end, late flurry, late comeback there for the Warriors, so they win by 3. They sit on top of the group currently, and they are favored on DK Sportsbook plus 120. But similar to what I said about the Thunder at plus 135, the Celtics at plus 230, Denver sitting there plus 195, and the way Jokic has been playing, dude, I'm taking so that all good. Day. I know. What do you think about this group?
I'm with you. Denver is my choice, and it's funny because just last week I was worried about this team. I still have some concerns just overall. But the best player on the planet is playing better than ever. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this just doesn't make sense. Also, like, they're a different team because they have all, like, in the past it was mostly just kind of like guys that could shoot around Jokic, and then Aaron Gordon would be like the lone kind of cutter. Now they have Christian Brown cutting, Strother cutting, Russ cutting, and it's given them a different element. And I think at some point we're going to see Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. shoot the ball a lot better and play more consistent. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, Jokic is – I really – like, if he keeps playing close to this level, I hope we don't have the nonsense voter fatigue stuff because he should easily win MVP. I'm going Denver, man. I know Golden State's deep. I know their defense has been awesome. I know Steph's great. I love what we're seeing from Buddy Hield and stuff like that. But just Jokic is literally unstoppable. Like, I just – and again, I still think at some point we're going to see better production from those secondary pieces, Jamal Murray, et cetera. Russ, remember when I was completely just destroying Russ?
Yeah.
In the first – he's been so much better since then.
Yeah.
I'm going Denver. I'm going with the best player on the planet.
Same. I'm sitting here clicking in three-leg parlays of Celtics, Nuggets, Thunder to win. Like,
which is funny because they're arguably – I mean, two of those teams are easily
– the best team.
Yeah, and then you have the best player on the planet. It's like
–
and they're not even the favorites in either one of their brackets. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, and I even if you take Boston out of there, right, because the Nuggets and Thunder haven't played a cup game yet.
Right.
So, like, being able to get those teams at 6-1 to win their groups if you parlay them together, that's pretty intriguing to me.
It's crazy because Jokic always gives us these, like, 25, 12, 11 games. But now he's giving us, like, 36, 18, and 14 games.
Yep. And I know, like, somebody was asking him, like, the post-game interview the other night asked him about basically, like, you know, you guys – you haven't had like a down game. And he said, like, what about, he pointed to like the second or third game of the season where they lost. And they were like, yeah, you had 41. And I think he was like, oh,
like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't care. He doesn't think about those type of stat lines. He's looking at wins and losses. So yeah, next round of cup games, Friday night, again, Tuesdays and Fridays, group stage games for the next 4 weeks. Talking about some games we're eyeing this weekend. Interesting schedule here tonight on Thursday. Adam, of course, Thursday night football, a pretty good one brewing there, right? Commanders and Eagles, but just one game in the NBA as well. Dallas at Utah. So I've got my eye on that because it's the only game of the night. Friday, though, cup games. I mentioned Lakers at Spurs. This is one, Adam, I was going to go to with some buddies just to get in. Top row in the corner is like $130. So now we ended up passing on that.
Is that like the average now with Wemby and stuff, or is that added because of the cup format?
It's added because of, I think it's less so the cup and more that LeBron and the Lakers are coming to town. The Lakers fans are everywhere and LeBron fans are everywhere. But yeah, man, we decided we're going to have a little watch party all to ourselves and save some cash.
Not totally related, but I obviously, like, I was born in upstate New York. But I've been in PA for 20 plus years. But we go to at least one Bills game in Buffalo every year. We can't go this year because the tickets, like, we were going to go to the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
So too expensive, much. Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, man, like, I'm thinking back 2 years ago in the year before they got Wemby, where they're just it's just terrible basketball night in, night out. I think I went to 8 or 9 games, and I spent about half of what the ticket to get into the top row of the corner is. Tomorrow night. Also, again, Chicago at Cleveland. So not only Cleveland trying to, again, climb the ranks there, climb the record books in terms of their undefeated start, but group stage game there in, what's that, Group B in the East. Saturday, Bucks at Charlotte, waiting to see, you know, is Damian Lillard going to be back for this one? Is Bobby Portis going to be back in this one?
Take the LaMelo overs.
Yeah, good call. Should be an entertaining one. And then Texas Triangle, Spurs at Mavericks there. That's always one to tune into. And then Sunday, Mavs at Thunder, a rematch of last year's Western Conference semifinal. And Charlotte at Cleveland, keeping an eye on that Cavaliers streak. Anything else for you there, Adam?
No, I'm not worried about them, but I do think for Dallas – they need to – I think they've kind of been, like, catering a lot more to Klay to start the season because he's the new player. They need to go back to just running the offense through Kyrie and Luka and having Klay in the corner off screens because that offense will be way better, I think.
I think they've also struggled a little bit, number one, with Derek Lively being out, right? Because you're replacing Lively minutes with a little bit more Gafford, but then Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleber, like, it's just not the same level on either end of the floor. They've also been without P.J. Washington, who is an integral part of this rotation, especially on the defensive end, especially on offense. to spread the floor, stand in there, knock down those corner threes. So yeah, I think that the Mavs to me will be fine. They just need to get healthy. Let's close
also
that
episode. This is the same team that was like left for dead in the first half of last season, and then they were like the best team in basketball in the second half. So
yeah, true. Let's close it out with a little stock up, stock down. We'll go with stock down here first. Adam, what do you got for your stock down in episode 22?
Yeah, honestly, I debated between a couple teams and players. We talked about one of them with Minnesota. Like, they're, again, I think they'll be fine, but it hasn't been what we expected or hoped from them. So that's been frustrating. Bam has been somebody that he hasn't been playing as well. So those two teams and players kind of stood out to me. I'm going to go – I don't want to do it because, like, I feel like we've picked on this team a lot.
Do it.
I'm going to go Milwaukee again, man. I just – the vibes are so bad. Like, I don't think Giannis is going to get traded, but, like, he's got to score 59 points. I know they're missing some guys, but just for them to win in overtime, I don't know, man. Maybe I should talk to Joe. I don't think the vibes are great from him.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I think it's hard to feel good about it at this point, even with the couple wins.
And it sucks because he's a great player, but like even when Middleton comes back, I feel like it's only a matter of time before he misses, you know, 2 weeks again.
Yeah. It is a long road ahead for Milwaukee. Not so much for the Heat here. I've actually got double coach stock up, stock down here, Adam.
Oh, you're going to go with Spoelstra?
I am.
I couldn't believe that it was Eric Spoelstra of all coaches.
Stock down Spo. Because look, there has been what you can count on one hand the number of times you could ever consider Eric Spoelstra for a stock down segment. So I'm going to take my shot here, Adam.
You're just mad Miami beat the Spurs in the finals that year.
You know, they got him back the next year. It's all good. But so the other night against the Pistons, right? I believe up two with what, like 3 seconds left? Pistons run an inbound play, back screen, lob, dunk. So we're tied. Spoelstra, in a fit of rage, walks onto the court, calling a timeout, you know, just standard coach calling a timeout. Oh, except he doesn't have any timeouts.
Could not believe it was Spoelstra when I saw the headline.
Yep. Technical foul and possession to Detroit. And I thought the cherry on top here, Adam, if you are familiar at all with timeouts being called in the history of basketball when a team doesn't have one, Jalen Rose, not only in the crowd there in attendance, but gets shown on the broadcast making a face like he was really enjoying his night there. I mean, to have Spoelstra do that.
He was not on the better end of that before, but it was good to see him on the good end of it this time.
Yeah. So again, you know, Eric Spoelstra had a rough night's sleep after that one. But that'll carry us into our stock ups. And like I said, I've got double coach stock up, stock downs here. So real quick last night, Adam, just a stock up to Brian Keith, who subbed in Justin Champagne to be on the court with his twin brother, Julian Champagne, in San Antonio last night. It was like the last 38 seconds of the first quarter because Justin is not a part of that Wizards regular rotation, but he got him out there. We got our little photo opportunity. And look, if LeBron James gets to have his photo op with his son, then the Champagne brothers get to have their photo op in San Antonio last night. So stock up, Coach Keith.
For me, let's put the Cavs fandom back to end the show.
Yeah, there you go.
Ty Jerome. Everybody's going to talk about the core four, and I've mentioned how Darius Garland, you can make the case he's been this team's best player this year. He's been that good. But Ty Jerome, he's averaging like 10 points per game off the bench. He's making huge steals in the fourth quarter. He's seemingly always making the right play. He's been awesome. Like you would think going into season, the Cavs' best player on the bench should be Caris LeVert. And LeVert's been fine, too. But the best player on the Cavs' bench this year has been Ty Jerome. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, if Ty Jerome's giving them these good minutes, you know, each game, and they're already going to have probably one of Garland or Mitchell on the floor 90% of the time. But that's the other thing, too. It's just the Cavs' bench because, like, they've been – there were – which game was it? I think it was the Bulls game where – they were behind, and they closed the third quarter with their entire bench unit in and went on a run going into the fourth quarter, and that helped them get the comeback and win. It's just like it's just all the unsung heroes from Cleveland. Sam Merrill's hit some key threes. We're going to get Strus back. Dean Wade, Okoro, just the Cavs bench. I'll just stock up the entire Cavs bench, but led by Ty Jerome and what he's done. Again, I've compared it to what they were hoping to get from Ricky Rubio before he stepped away a couple years ago. Ty Jerome's been that and a lot more for the first 13 games of the season.
I'm kind of surprised he's only tied for 15th in the sixth man of the year odds here. Again, like we're getting...
There's a lot of good candidates this year, to be fair, but yeah, that seemed a little low.
Well, and
I mean, Buddy Hield's got to be, because he's still coming off the bench occasionally, so it's like it's enough to where he's...
Buddy is second. Peyton Pritchard's actually somewhat running away with it right now, plus 225 for Pritchard.
Where's Deuce?
Let's see. Plus 3,500, so he is 12th right now.
I thought about this too in watching the game. I was like, remember how all the time it was sixth man of the year? It's like, well, when will Lou Williams win this award this year or whoever?
Yeah.
This feels like one of the more fun years for sixth man.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Ty Jerome 50-1, Caris LeVert's 30-1. I think that's just wrong, right? Like from your own team. But look at these names, right? Pritchard, Buddy Hield, Ben Mathurin. Ben Mathurin might lose.
He's been so good.
Yeah, he's been starting, though, so yeah, he might lose that eligibility along the way. But Malik Monk, John Kuminga, Naz Reid, Trey Mann there in Charlotte, Derek Lively, D'Angelo Russell now in a six-man role, Scottie Pippen Jr., Bobby Portis, Tari.
Who says Jared McCain doesn't make a run if he continues to come off the bench? And
I mean, his rookie of the year odds shot up. I want to say he went from like 15-1 to now on DraftKings Sportsbook, Adam, this morning, Jared McCain, the favorite, plus 350. So that's how quickly your fortunes can change in a rookie of the year race like this. And the six man of the year race isn't too dissimilar, where there are multiple contenders who you could see and make a case for winning at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
Ty Jerome per 36, by the way, as we close it out, Adam, per 36 minutes, 22.2 points, 4.3 rebounds, 7.5 assists, 3.1 steals, 62% from the field, 58% from three, 83% from the line. Give this man the award.
And he had that game against Golden State during the Cavalanche in the second quarter where he hits back-to-back threes, and the second one's from deep right in front of Golden State's bench, and he obviously played for them and looked right at the bench. And I was like, good. Every time I'm trying to watch the game or I have to follow like the updates, when the Cavs make a run, Ty Jerome's part of it. He's been that good.
Fantastic.
So shout out Ty Jerome. And hopefully the Cavs will be undefeated next Thursday when we talk again.
Yep. So that'll do it for episode 22 of the FTN Fast Break podcast. Appreciate you tuning in, sticking with us here. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us grow the show. You can rate and review as well to help us out. And if you're watching this on the FTN Fantasy YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell to know when a new video or live stream is posted. And I'll be back on Monday with Mike Randall recapping the week that was, and we'll see Adam here same time, same place next Thursday. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll do the same. Till Monday, he's Adam and I'm Zach. Goodbye.